disappearance day of Sita Devi, and she is one of the seven great ladies of the universe who had all wonderful qualities. And I think, who are the seven? There's Gandhari, Kunti, Devahuti, Sita, Akuti. Okay, who are the other two? Huh? Oh, it's one more, six. Okay, who's the other one? Huh? Oh, okay. The other one was concealed. Okay. Anyway, Sita Devi was the ideal chaste wife and pure Vaishnavi. And, of course, actually, she was acting as a pure Vaishnavi, but, in fact, she was the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. And it's also the appearance day of Janava Mata, who was the wife of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And after Nityananda Prabhu disappeared, she accepted her own disciples, and she had hundreds and hundreds of disciples, and many male disciples also. And an interesting feature was, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would travel, or wherever he was, for that matter, he, of course, he had many followers who were women, but they were not allowed to come within 50 feet. They had to offer their obeisances from a distance, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a very strict sannyasi, so much so that his own sannyas disciple, Junior Haridas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed a slight tinge of lust, and nobody would have noticed it, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just like a tiny speck, a very subtle thing. And for that, he banished Junior Haridas from his association. And of course, Junior Haridas was so distraught, destroyed by having to be out of the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he thought suicide was a better option, becoming a ghost. So he committed suicide. But then he regained the association of Mahaprabhu. But anyway, Janava, she used to also have the same rule that she would travel, and she had many female disciples, but men were not allowed to, would offer their obeisance. Of course, she would speak in public, give discourses, but ideal, chaste Vaishnavi. Also, we have some new members of our Sampradaya. Some Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis were initiated this morning. You may notice that Bhakti Yani and Bhakti Sabina, they probably won't be coming to the temple anymore. But Janaka Maharaj Das and Sita Devi will be coming. And this is formerly Bhakta Dhyan from Osik. And now he's winner of wealth, Dhananjaya Das. And now we have to be very careful how we deal with Anuttama Prabhu, because he's now a Brahmana, so. And actually it was just a trick by the temple authorities because they needed someone to do all the deity worships. No, he actually, from the day he went to Villa Vrindavan, he was very attracted to the deities and wanted to do deity worship. So now he can do that. This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 25, chapter 7. I sometimes, you know, I have a laugh with Indians are losing their culture, and especially the next generation of Indians don't, you know, they're so caught up with Western influence that they haven't read their own scriptures or they know very little about it. And I was once at a program where it was a pious family, and the father and mother were devotees, but their son was, you know, a rebellious teenager. So I was giving a lecture, and I had made some statements, and so he challenged, and I said, "Well, have you read the Bhagavad Gita?" And he said, "Yes." So I was doubtful whether he'd actually read the Bhagavad Gita. So I said, "Did you read the 25th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "Yes, I read it." I said, "Sir, there are only 18 chapters." Then he was very embarrassed. His ignorance was revealed. Anyway, my ignorance was just revealed there. Chapter 7, entitled Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Naham prakashaha sarvasya yogamaya samavrataha muddoyam nabijanati loko mam ajam avyayam. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita muddoyam nabijanati lokomam ajamavyayam. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudoyam nabijanati lokomam ajamavyayam. Aham, I, prakashaha, manifest, sarvasya, to everyone. Yoga maya, by internal potency. Samavrataha, covered. Mudaha, foolish. I am these. Na, not. Abhijanati, can understand. Lokaha, persons. Mam, me. Ajam, unborn. Avyayam, inexhaustible. Translation. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Everyone can repeat responsively. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It may be argued that since Krishna was present on this earth and was visible to everyone, then why isn't he manifest to everyone now? But actually, he was not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there were only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of the Kurus, when Shishupala spoke against Krishna's being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him to be the Supreme God. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the Supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that but for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasure. But to others, to unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. In the prayers of Kunti, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yoga Maya curtain is also confirmed in the Ishopanishad Mantra 15, in which the devotee prays, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Pihitam Mukam Tattam Pushana Pavanu Satya Dharmaya Drishtaye. O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the Yoga Maya. The Brahma Jyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satchit Ananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge. End quote. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his transcendental form of bliss and knowledge is covered by the internal potency of the Brahma Jyoti, and the less intelligent impersonalists cannot see the Supreme on this account. Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.7, there is this prayer by Brahma. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, O Master of all mystery, who can calculate your potency and pastimes in this world? You are always expanding your internal potency, and therefore no one can understand you. Learned scientists and learned scholars can examine the atomic constitution of the material world, or even the planets, but still, they are unable to calculate your energy and potency, although you are present before them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is not only unborn, but also avyaya, inexhaustible. His eternal form is bliss and knowledge, and his energies are all inexhaustible. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudoyam na vijanati lokomam ajam avyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So we can see that some people can't see. 5,000 years ago, Krishna was here on this planet, and he was very famous. But people could see him, but they couldn't see his real identity. The reason being that they were very much attached to their false ego. And Krishna reserves the right to be known only by his unalloyed devotees. It is not such an easy thing. Unless one is completely surrendered to Krishna, unless one's eyes are looking at Krishna in a mood of devotion rather than a mood of envy or greed or lust, anger, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, unless your eyes are filled with love, you can't see Krishna. The faithless persons, they can't understand Krishna. Asraddhanasya purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam. Those who are asraddha, without faith, they cannot practice dharma, sanatan dharma, devotion to God, and they never achieve understanding of the absolute truth. Aprapya means they don't capture me. Prapti means to capture. So the devotees, they actually capture Krishna. They conquer Krishna. Krishna is ajita. He's inconquerable. He's the supreme. He's all-powerful. Everything is working under his direction. Prakate kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvash. The modes of material nature are working under his direction. Krishna showed that when he appeared here 5,000 years ago by defeating so many demons. And these weren't ordinary personalities. Throughout his pastimes, today we're celebrating the appearance of Sita Devi. So that pastime is very famous. Ravana was so powerful that he could create an entire planet, and he could fight with millions of soldiers single-handedly. He had performed great austerities to achieve immense strength. All of the demigods throughout all the heavenly planets were totally in fear of him. All of the demigods with all their soldiers and all of their mystic powers. But this one man, Ravana, He made them shiver. Just by hearing His name, they became afraid. And Lord Krishna, Lord Rama, He manifests a wonderful pastime of without any army. He didn't have any army. Ravana had a huge army of rakshasas, the most ferocious type of warriors who were man-eating, bloodthirsty, powerful demons who had all kinds of mystic powers and were not afraid to do anything to win in battle. They were not kshatriyas. Kshatriyas have a code of ethics, but rakshasas can perform any tricks. There's nothing like ethics. But still, Lord Ramchandra, with a band of monkeys, he defeated the great Ravana. So, Krishna is very famous, very powerful, very wonderful, but he's invisible unless you want to see him. If you don't want to see Krishna, if you're faithless, then Krishna will actually give you the intelligence by which you can concoct some philosophy and justify the non-existence of God. Where do people get the intelligence to dream up such wonderful philosophies? Atheistic philosophies. The intelligence is given by God. So it is simply a matter of our desire. And Krishna explains here, actually in the previous verse, avyaktam vyaktim apannam manyante mam abuddhaya param bhavam ajananto mam avyayam anuttamam. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So even if Krishna performs wonderful pastimes, but because people have got a strong desire to maintain their false ego, if you recognize that Krishna is before you, then you have to bow down and surrender to Him. Just like many people come to the temple once or twice or thrice, and they start to get attracted, and then immediately they pull back and they stop coming because they recognize that this is getting too attractive. And if I continue coming, I'll be forced to submit to Prithu's shaver. I'll be forced to surrender to Krishna. So they're fearful. And they make a choice right there that I don't want to surrender my false ego. So they stop coming because they know that it would be very hypocritical of them. So in the same way, if we allow ourselves to accept the existence of God, then it means I have to give up all my nonsense, and I don't want to give up my nonsense. I want to continue eating anything whenever I feel like it. No matter whether it's killing innocent animals or whether it's, you know, destroying the world economy. Meat eating is actually destroying the world economy. All glories to McDonald's. Seriously, it takes so much land to raise a pound of beef The same land, if it were used to grow vegetables, could feed 20 times the number of people. And all of the rainforests that are cut down to provide, to fatten the cows, and all of the water that's wasted. This planet is fast becoming a desert. Believe it or not, in the next century, one of the major problems that society is going to have to look at is a shortage of water. Already in your generation, you have to drink bottled water. Everybody has to drink bottled water all over the world. In Japan, you can buy bottled air. I'm serious. People, they walk around the streets of Tokyo and they're, you know, after about a half hour or an hour, they're ready to be asphyxiated. So they drop into their local store and buy a bottle of oxygen and, you know, it's there. And in the next century, water is going to be a major problem. So, people want to maintain their sinful lifestyle. They won't surrender to Krishna. And even though Krishna comes and manifests his pastimes, Krishna was here 500 years ago as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, very few people recognized him. He did so many wonderful things, even miracles, so many miracles. So you have to cultivate an attitude of surrender and submission. You have to make an effort to surrender to Krishna. Then Krishna will lift the yoga maya curtain. Krishna has no obligation. He's not breaking any kind of contract if he doesn't reveal himself. We have chosen to come to this material world, and therefore we are called mudhas. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumasritam purambhavam ajananto. The same thing here. They do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Purambhavam. They don't know my supreme abode. Purambhavam ajananto. If we only knew that Krishna is our self-interest, Natevidu Swadagatim Hi Vishnu, our self-interest is Krishna or Vishnu, if we knew this, then we would be more inclined to surrender, because we could just, you know, purchase a ticket and go back to Godhead. We could live eternally, full of bliss and knowledge. It's that easy. But because we're unintelligent in the matter of self-realization, we may be intelligent in the matter of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, but that only perpetuates our life in the world of birth and death. You don't win in life, in material life. Even if you succeed, you still have to undergo the miseries of material existence. It's so complex that the more material success that you get, the more attached you become, and the harder it is for you to give up your attachments. Oftentimes, a poor man suffers far less in terms of dealing with old age, disease, and death because he doesn't have much, so he doesn't, you know, how does that go? When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. Right? So it's easier for a poor man to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a wealthy man who's very attached. So, foolish and unintelligent. And Krishna, it's not his wish to cover us, and in fact, he's ready to lift the Hiranmayena, the covering effulgence. If his devotee prays to him, please remember the last three prayers of the Isha Upanishad are very nice. The devotee, first of all, in mantra 15, 15, 16, 17, and 18, he first of all prays to the Lord. The Isha Upanishad was spoken by the personified Vedas. So, they're praying to the Lord that please remove the curtain which is blocking my vision of you. I'm not interested in merging in your Brahma Jyoti, in your light. A lot of people do think that God is impersonal. Even those who supposedly belong to monotheistic religions, if you question them deeply about the nature of God, they will end up saying that God is an energy, God is a force, or God is a light. This is very popular, that God is a light, a white light. And they have some concept of merging into, meditating on and merging into that white light, becoming one with God. But the devotee of the Lord knows that the source of that light is the Supreme. That light is simply the effulgence of the body of the Lord. And there's no pleasure unless you actually go to the source of everything. In Brahman realization, there's freedom from pain, something like nirvana, but there's no actual ananda. Brahmananda, there's something, the word is there anyway, Brahmananda. But it's more like the bliss of somebody twisting your arm behind your back, you know, until you say, uncle. You know, it's very painful, somebody's twisting your arm. And then they let go. Just like I was in Zagreb, and we went on a picnic, and we naturally, you can't go on a picnic without having a football match and a little wrestling. So I wrestled with Munishwara, and although he's a heavy-duty weightlifter and half my age, but I whooped him. About 50 years ago, when I was going to college, I was on the wrestling team. Anyway, so I got him down on the mat. See, I had my head. He actually was on top of me, But I hooked my arm around his arm. Then I did a roll and dragged him down over and under me. And I got him on the mat. And then I held hard. And, you know, he was pinned. And I just really gave him pain until he said, "Uncle." And then I let him up. So, you know, he got an experience of Brahmananda. But it's not where we want to go, ultimately. The swimming was more like Goloka Vrindavan. So Krishna can remove that veil. And the nice thing is the devotee prays that, "Dear Lord, if I don't remember you at the time of death, then please remember all that I have done for you." So there is hope. Krishna will remember you even if somehow or other you're not able to remember him, because he wants to see you come back to home. He's put a veil over your eyes because you wanted it that way. You wanted to forget God and enjoy. Just like sometimes you know, young kids, we used to do this, right? You want to have a party, you know, you want to call everybody over and, you know, you want to have some serious fun at your house. But your parents are there, and they're stick-in-the-mud, you know, squares, you know, they just don't know. So you got to somehow or other get them out of the house so they can go out and play bridge somewhere or something, you know. So you can really put the music up loud and, you know, whatever. Because, you know, they embarrass you. You know, you don't feel uninhibited. Anyway. Animal example, but the devotee, he may feel embarrassed about his position, but if he prays sincerely to the Lord, Krishna can actually forgive us for all of our sinful activities. He wants us. He knows we've been bad, but still, he wants us to experience our eternal blissful identity. Here is a logical theorem for you, or a logical proposal, that we want Krishna's association, or we want a blissful life, because it is our birthright. It's not possible to desire something that you've never had experience of before. So the very fact that we want a relationship with someone that is full of happiness and joy and is never ending, a utopian idea, just like in a dream of sleep. It's a dream of sleep is a subtle form of your activities in the daytime. You would say my activities of waking are real activities and my dream is just kind of imagination or something. But you can't have a dream and see something that you haven't seen in the daytime, in your waking state. You can't see things that you haven't seen in your waking state. So in the same way, we cannot see things in this temporary world, which is like a dream, which don't have some substantial reality in the absolute world. So the desire for a strong, fulfilling relationship full of love and joy and happiness and variety, it doesn't exist here in this world, but it does have existence in the absolute world. And Krishna's would be very happy to give us an opportunity to enter into his pastimes. He comes so many times, again and again, and he, you know, he doesn't just come the same Krishna every time, although that would be fine too. But each time he comes in a different form. Beyond you, just when you think, okay, I've got it, there's 10 incarnations, they look like this. He comes in a different one. Blows your mind. You know? You can't calculate the imagination of Krishna. Offering us something that we shouldn't and can't refuse. He's making an offer we can't resist. And therefore, those who are intelligent and not foolish, they surrender to Krishna and he lifts the veil. But those who are unintelligent and foolish, they have to matirna krishne paratasvato va mito vipadyeta griha vratanam griha vrat. They're just fixed in the bodily concept of life. Deha apatya kalatradishu atma sanyeshu asatsvati. They're attached to the body and all of the byproducts and extensions and expansions of the body. So many things. House, family, cars, all kinds of conveniences. We get really thoroughly attached to them. Most of you are young, and not so many of you are householders. But you'll be surprised, and I've talked to many of my friends, both devotee friends and even some of my old school friends, and they all have the same experience. That after about 5 or 10 years of being a householder, they need another house to hold all the possessions that they've accumulated. And they have to go through them. Huh? Vinita's acknowledging. You have to go through, you know, like, and throw so many things out, literally. Call the Salvation Army over to, you know. You have the Salvation Army here? Huh? You don't have them here. No. Salvation Army. Anyway, they're a Christian group, but they're soft core. They're soft preachers, but they became famous for doing charity work by having trucks come around to everybody's house and getting all your old newspapers. Believe it or not, householders keep their old newspapers. You know, I mean, who wants to read a newspaper even twice, what to speak of, keep it for 10 years, but people do it. So they would go around and pick up all the old newspapers and sell off the paper and make money for charity. Plus, they would pick up clothes and so many things, and literally they made a fortune. Because people, when they looked in their, you know, garage where they're supposed to keep cars but actually kept tons of junk. You know, they buy things on impulse, use it 3 times, and then get tired of it and want to buy the latest gizmo, driven by desire. So, atma sainyesu asatsapi teshang pramattam. They become pramatta. Remember that word, it comes up a lot in the Vedas. Mad. They become mad with material desires. Mata, pramata. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritaya apranoti. People will do anything for sense gratification. Sense gratification will force an ordinarily gentle, decent person, but the strong desire for sex or power or fame or whatever will drive a man to cheat, to steal, and kill even his relatives. So, pashyana pina pashyati. We have eyes to see, but na pashyati, we can't see. And because people don't want to see Krishna, even when he comes and says, "Hi, I'm Krishna, I'm God," they can't see him. He's right in front of them. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam. He's right there in front of Arjuna. He's talking to Arjuna, but he's also talking to all of us. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam. I am Krishna. Matak parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. There's no truth superior to me. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. I am the source of everything. I am the personality of Godhead. Just surrender to me. Great personalities in the past have surrendered to me. And there's so many, even in the present, so many great yogis, acharyas, they all accept Krishna as the supreme. He says that I will protect you from all your bad karma. Masuchaha, no need to worry about anything. But we won't surrender to Krishna because we're too attached. And to what? Whatever it is that we're attached to, it hasn't brought us any satisfaction up to now in our lives. And if we just get more of the same thing, unless you've got some hope that there's something new on the horizon, you know, the latest new drug or the latest new disco music, you know, or something that's going to really send me into outer space. I don't think so. We don't need a change in quantity in our lives. We need a change of direction, a change of quality in our happiness. And Krishna's offering that, and you have to take a step. You have to make an effort. You have to have a little faith. Those who are asraddha, apapyamam. So you have to adau sraddha. The beginning is faith. Tathad nishtha. The middle is faith. You have to increase and grow in your faith. But you will see Krishna. Didami divyam te chakshu. Because you're my devotee, I give you divine eyes by which you can see me. Now, all we have to do is chant Hare Krishna. Because Lord Chaitanya has made it very, very easy. He's not even asking for faith. He's not even asking for surrender. Krishna said surrender, you get the result. No surrender, no result. No tiki, no washi. It's hard, you know. I miss some Americans here. Only they can understand. Chinese laundry, you know, they're famous in America. So, you know, if you don't have your laundry ticket, then you don't get your washing back. No tiki, no washi. But you don't surrender to Krishna? Then Krishna doesn't give himself to you. But Lord Chaitanya is more merciful. He is Mahavadanya Avatar. He says, okay, you keep your false ego, man. That's cool. You keep your, you know, pride. You keep it all. But just chant the holy names of God with feeling. and take Krishna prasadam and live a simple life. If you can just do these few simple things, don't get entangled in material life, live a simple life, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy. That's, what did I say? What are Prabhupada's three instructions? Huh? Everybody's speaking at once. Let none of my disciples say anything. Somebody else say. What are Prabhupada's instructions, his three instructions? Huh? Okay, you know. Go ahead. Yes, chant Hare Krishna. That was his instruction. Chant Hare Krishna. That you have to do first. Don't worry, comes later. Chant Hare Krishna. That was his instruction. Then his next order to all of us was, have no worries. You have to work on that. You have to kick your mind in the teeth. You have to stop, you know, worrying. Because you're chanting Hare Krishna. Your problems are over. You've had experience in the past that things have happened to you and it's caused havoc and misery and sorrow in your life. So now you're afraid that the same things will happen again. So you psych yourself out. You create what they call a self-fulfilling prophecy. You get so much wound up in anxiety and worry that you actually attract misery to you. But if you try this formula, first of all, chant Hare Krishna so you can bliss out. And then have no worries. That's an order. And then be happy. Be happy means even when you don't feel like it, even when you're tired and you just want to go somewhere and find a little corner of the temple and close the door and, you know, sleep or chant or read, or you don't want to see devotees again, you know, just for a few hours. But instead you just say, you know, I'm going to be happy because Krishna is the energetic source and he can give me everything. And so you just go to kirtan and you just jump in the air and you say, I don't care. I'm going to defeat gravity. And you just do it. And Krishna fills you full of energy and he says, fly. Fly, my child. Fly in the sky. And it's wonderful. So chant Hare Krishna, have no worries and be happy. So, of course, all of us are... Anyway, whatever. What can I say? We wanted to, after a fire sacrifice and on an auspicious day, one should cook a nice feast and distribute it to all the Vaishnavas, especially after fire yajna. But after 5 days of fire yajnas and auspicious feasts, people are out of energy to digest such feasts and also out of money to pay for them. So we've got together and we put together a little popcorn and halava for all of you. So we want you to bestow your blessings on the new initiates. Give them your blessings that they can render nice devotional service to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So everybody can give your blessings. Hari Bol! Okay. Any questions? Okay. So, summer is coming up, I think. The weather's been so weird this year. But there'll be lots of nice festivals in the summertime here. I hope I'll get a chance to come back and celebrate some of them with you. Maybe Janmashtami or something. Hare Krishna.